I'll be reading Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted in the streams of water, which yield its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly, or the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish.
Among the first poems that many of us read and learned was Joyce Kilmer's Trees, which spoke of the wonder of God's creation of the tree, and started, "I think that I shall never see a poem as lovely as a tree," and concluded with, "Poems are made by fools like me, but only God can make a tree." There's something very reassuring about a tree. It makes us sad to see a tree die or cut down. I know when we had to cut our tree down over here, a lot of people had a hard time with that. It was really difficult. I think one person in particular who shall remain nameless, Marianne. But trees are one thing that are constant in our ever-changing world. The same trees that you climbed on as a child are most likely still there. When Colleen and I took Luke back to Taylor to look at colleges, that's where we went to school, and the campus changed a great deal since we were there. But one thing that was the same was the trees. They were still there. They're a lot bigger, but they were still there. And there's something about that that makes me feel good. It's nice to look out your window and see the same tree standing tall. It represents to us stability and constancy. We need that in a world that's not very stable or constant. People let us down, life disappoints us, but at least that tree is still going to be there. The Bible uses the tree as a symbol of what a difference that the Lord can make in our lives. Psalm 1 compares the godly life to a tree that is planted by the water. Now, by godly life, I'm not just talking about a good person or someone with high standards and good morals and values, but I'm talking rather about a person who has been given life by God through faith in Jesus Christ. Therefore, that person has been made godly or holy. Literally, verse 3 reads, "A tree transplanted by streams of water," indicating a sapling that was taken and deliberately placed by the water in fertile soil so that it would be able to grow in the desired way. When we are saved, God has imparted life to us, not because we deserve it, not because of our wonderful human potential, but simply because he has loved us. And he made it so that we can be taken out of our previous spiritual environment and placed in a new one, an environment of spiritual life. And if that has happened, if we have accepted God's offer of salvation, then what happens to us should be very similar to what happens to a tree that has been taken and transplanted by streams of living water. For instance, a tree planted by a river soon becomes a fixed thing. It becomes rooted. And not right away. At first, the sapling is very vulnerable. It could be pulled up, or it could be washed away, or it could be frozen out. But soon it becomes so rooted that it can't be pulled up, like you could a little weed. The wind can't blow it away, like the flimsy chaff of a wheat plant that's just separated from the stalk at the slightest breeze. That's what verse 4 is talking about. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. When a tree is rooted, then it can stand extreme temperatures because it draws its life from the roots. Well, in the same way, a life that has been transplanted and transformed by God becomes a fixed thing. Jeremiah made a very similar comparison when he wrote in chapter 17, verse 7, "But blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. He will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its root by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit." A person who has been changed by God becomes fixed in the faith so that he is able to withstand those winds of change and take that heat of opposition and resist that pressure of temptation. And will be able to find nourishment even in isolation and spiritual coldness around him. Paul said it well in Ephesians 3:16, when he said that God strengthens you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you become rooted and grounded in love. You become fixed. Are you fixed in the Lord? Is your spiritual life rooted to the point that you're not going to desert your faith because there are some problems in your life or in the church or in your family? If you are young in the Lord, then you need to be tenderly cared for, like a tree sapling needs to be watched over. But it is with the idea that you will soon become fixed, being rooted and grounded in the love of God and not blown away like the chaff. A second thing that we see about a healthy tree is that it is a living thing. Verse 3 in Psalm 1 says that its leaf does not wither. Now that doesn't mean that it always has leaves, but that even when there are no leaves on the trees, that the tree is still alive. And this is because the life of the tree is not determined by what's on the exterior, but rather by what's on the interior and what's under the ground. As long as the tree is alive, then it is capable of producing foliage. The leaf has not withered. Now, without Christ, all of us were spiritually dead. Ephesians 2:1 says that we were dead in our trespasses and sins. That's what our condition was. But when a person becomes a Christian, he becomes a living thing. He's alive not because of what's on the outside, but rather because of the things that are on the inside. Not by what you can see, not because he's been baptized and goes to church and gives his money and takes the Lord's Supper and reads the Bible and all those other things that we do and people can see, but he's alive because Christ dwells in him and he in Christ. And Christ is alive. That is how important the resurrection of Jesus is, because if he were still dead, then we would be too. We draw our life from him. Jesus himself made a similar comparison in John 15, verse 5, when he says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned." A vine and a tree are about the same thing. The branch of the tree is only alive as long as it's attached to the tree. And we as Christians are alive, we're living things because we're attached to Jesus. His blood flows through us. That's why his blood was spilled, so that we might be living things. A tree is not only a fixed thing and a living thing, it is a growing thing. Except for very rare kinds of trees that only grow to a certain extent, trees just keep getting taller and taller. Their trunks just keep getting wider and wider. For hundreds of years, they can just keep growing, especially if a tree has been planted by the water, for then it is assured of getting the nutrients that it needs. And even if there is a drought, the soil will still be fertile enough to provide the tree with all that it needs to keep growing. A person who has the life of God in him needs to not only be fixed and rooted, he needs not only to be living, but he needs to be growing. If a tree is living, it's growing. I'm not so sure that we can say that about all Christians. It's quite possible for someone to have been born again, but yet to remain in spiritual infanthood and not be growing at all. But if we are planted near the source of nurture, like the tree planted by the water, then we will be sure to keep growing. We have been given living water. We have all the resources available to keep on growing every day. And through communion with God and continual prayer to him in the name of Jesus, we can keep growing for as long as we live. As long as we're alive, we can still grow, no matter how old you are or how long you've been a Christian. We have the scriptures, which are as important to spiritual growth as water and sunlight are to the growth of trees. And if we dwell by that stream of scripture and we keep close to that river of prayer, we will be growing things, not just fixed, not just alive, but growing, and like a tree to keep growing until the day we die. Are you growing? Ask yourself that question. Can you pinpoint areas in your life where you have grown? Are there things that you've learned in the past few years, or maybe even months, or maybe even this last week? If you honestly can't say that, then you need to plant yourself by the living water. You need to get close to Jesus. You need to study the Word of God. You have to have fellowship with other believers. You need to keep growing. So when a tree is firmly rooted and fixed, when it is living and growing, it then becomes a beautiful thing. It prospers, which the psalmist says that is what will happen to the godly person. Now, trees are beautiful. We lived out west for a number of years, and there were many things that we enjoyed about living in Wyoming and western Kansas. But it was sort of a culture shock moving from Ohio to Wyoming. A big part of the void that we felt was that there were no trees, except for up on the mountains or right there in the middle of town. We never thought about how beautiful Ohio trees are until we moved where there were hardly any trees. About all that could grow out there were these ugly Russian olive trees, but after a few years, even though it started to look kind of pretty. And Kansas didn't have a lot of trees either, but it was dog heaven compared to Wyoming. On our first Christmas in Wyoming, we went up to the mountains and we chopped down our own Christmas tree. That's how they did it out there. They didn't sell them anywhere. You had to go to the mountain and chop it down. And looking back at the photographs of that first Christmas there in Wyoming, you can see right through the tree. You know, Charlie Brown had nothing on us. But that Christmas, that tree looked pretty good. Moving back to the Midwest helped us to remember what real trees look like, with all their colors and their depth and their splendor. Trees are a magnificent part of God's creation. And I like the word that the psalmist uses here. It prospers. This describes the growth of a tree. It gets taller, it branches out, it blossoms, it prospers. And that's exactly what happens to the believer in Christ, who bases his life on the word of God, whose delight is in the law of the Lord. He prospers, he grows, he branches out, he blossoms. And I'm not talking about material prosperity. God may choose to bless us that way, but he might not. However, it is guaranteed that if you love God and you have allowed him to save you and you have allowed him to make you rooted in your faith and growing in his love, that your life will prosper. You will branch out in different directions, spiritually, of course, but also socially and mentally, emotionally, intellectually. You will grow up in all aspects unto him, as Ephesians 4:15 says, we grow in all things unto him that who is our head, that is Christ. Now let us be clear that the beauty or the prosperity of the Christian life is the result of the life-changing power of God and not the basis of it. In other words, this isn't just a sermon telling you that to be a good Christian, you have to study more and you have to be more friendly and witness more and you have to worship and praise more. No, this is a sermon stating that if you have the life of God in you, then these things should be happening. Not all at once. A tree doesn't prosper overnight. Revival doesn't happen in your spiritual life just because you get inspired at a revival service or you get all fired up at summer camp or you're just challenged about your faith and you decide that all at once you're going to change the world and with all your enthusiasm and your hard work. And we just really can't expect drastic changes to happen all at once. But what we can expect, if indeed our spiritual lives are being revived and renewed, that we will be gradually branching out, blossoming, prospering, and becoming a beautiful part of God's workmanship, because that's what happens when there is real growth. The Christian life is a beautiful thing, but that's not the reason to become a Christian. It is the result of being a Christian. The reason to become a Christian is that that's the only hope for an escape from the eternal punishment of hell, and it's the only hope for having any kind of real meaning and purpose for this existence in life. There are trials and there are hardships for the Christian as well, and even if there were no promise of joy and peace and beauty in this life, we would still need Christ to save us from our sins and the consequences of our sins. The beauty and the prosperity of a spirit-filled life is just an added blessing from our loving God. And what a wonderful blessing it is. It's a beautiful thing. Something else about the tree that is planted by the water is that it is fruitful. It yields its fruit in season. In other words, it does what it's supposed to do. Some trees just don't bear fruit some years for various reasons, but when the seasons work as intended, a fixed, living, growing, prosperous tree will bear fruit. It is useful. Now, trees are among the most useful things there are, not only to man, but to birds and to other animals. They provide food and shade and shelter and a host of other things for us. If a tree were not useful, it would be good for nothing except taking up space and looking pretty. There are many Christians who are useful for nothing except taking up space and taking up that room in their pews and looking their Sunday best once a week, or maybe once a month, or once a year. When God recreated us in Christ, he made us to be useful for his kingdom. And there are so many ways to be useful. And don't judge your usefulness compared to what others are doing. You know, God has given each of you a way in which you can be useful. Your responsibility is not to do as much as you see the next person doing, but rather to do what God has given you to do. An apple tree is not going to produce oranges, no matter how strong and healthy that apple tree is. All you are expected to do is to bear the fruit that God has created you to bear, to be useful for the Lord's work. That could be a ministry of prayer, or of worship and praise, or of teaching, or evangelizing, or encouraging, or reaching out to the needy. It may be in ways that nobody even sees except God. The point isn't whether I think you're useful, or if anybody else does, but rather, are you useful to God? If you love him and his word and his church, then you will be. It will just happen. You will be fixed in him. You will be alive in him. You will be growing and prosperous and fruitful. Can you say that about yourself this morning? Now, I know we all could do better. There's room for improvement for all of us. But if you can't say that you are fixed in him, or that you're living and growing and prospering and bearing fruit, then something needs to change. Because you're dead and you need new life. And Christ has offered to give you that life. Does anyone here that knows you're dead in your sins and you need life in Christ, would you accept him today and allow him to become your Savior? Allow him to plant you by those streams of living water to allow you to grow every day of your life. So as we close in a song, I'm going to ask anyone who would like to become a Christian today to make that decision. Or perhaps you're already a Christian and you'd like to decide to be useful for the Lord's kingdom right here in our church at Spinning Road Baptist, and you'd like to join our church by being baptized or transferring your membership. You too are invited to make a decision to do that. As we sing, would you just come forward and we'll take you from there. I'm going to sing a wonderful old hymn, Christ Liveth in Me. You'll find it on number 619. I'll ask you to all stand together as we sing.